Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
I am really excited for today's guest. He has some incredible travel experience coaching in another part of the world that many of us probably dream about doing, and something we'll really explore of traveling into a whole new culture. But today's guest is Ryan Eldred. Ryan, welcome to Heads and Volleys.
How are you doing, Lee? How are you getting on?
Doing well, mate. Doing well. I'm really glad that we could get this out there. And you and I have connected a little bit over Instagram, and I've been kind of captivated by your story and your travel. So give us a little intro to who you are and what you do.
Well, obviously, my name's Ryan. I'm 28 and I'm from the Isle of Wight. I grew up on the Isle of Wight in the south of the UK. Started my football coaching at quite an early age. As you can imagine, that there's not too many opportunities on the Isle of Wight for football coaches, small little area, kind of secluded. So that kind of led me to move away quite early on and pursue my career in coaching. I'd say the first step was going to university, which really, really helped me to sort of set a platform for the future.
And then I've been to the Isle of Wight. I went with my family when I was really young. I think we drove around the island in a couple of hours, and that was kind of like, okay, what are we going to do next? So trying to get away from, I guess, the idea of a small town and getting into the bigger, wider world of university, what was your driving force for university? Was that for just expanding knowledge and to get into new environments?
Sure. Well, my coaching actually started on the Isle of Wight with a few local youth teams. My dad was involved with the youth team. My brother-in-law was also involved, and they're all massive football fans. But unfortunately, throughout my youth career, I received quite a damaging injury. It stopped me playing for a good couple of years, and that kind of led me down the coaching route. But like I said, the Isle of Wight is such a small place, such a lack of opportunities. I thought if I move onto the mainland, that hopefully give me the opportunity to start a career in a bigger city. And now recently I've just moved back from the biggest city in the world, where I've been coaching. So fantastic opportunity.
And so going to university and then on from there, your experience of coaching on the mainland, what did you get into there? What was the kind of some of the biggest experiences you had?
My first coaching role came with the Chelsea Foundation. I was only a casual sort of community coach, and I would do a few development centres here and there. But like I said, the opportunities were still kind of limited due to only being on a casual contract, and hours I weren't really getting enough to cover my bills and my rent and stuff like that. So it kind of opened my eyes, really, and I thought maybe I can try and do this abroad. I reached out to a few people that I knew in the USA, and before I knew it, I was on a plane to Seattle, and like I said, I haven't really looked back since then. It was a really great experience and a great move to go to the USA at the time.
You followed a very similar path to me in going to the US. That's where a lot of, I guess, Brits will end up coaching in the US, and for good and bad, I think. But what was it like? Can you explain? Because I always struggle to explain what soccer is like in the US in comparison to the UK, and the experience that you get as a coach running things like soccer camps and directing soccer camps.
Yeah, I'd say it's a very, very different experience. When I first moved there, I wasn't really sure what to expect. Obviously, soccer was quite a new upcoming sport. People were kind of getting excited about it. It was obviously not quite as big as the national sports they have at the moment with the American football, baseball, hockey and basketball, but it was still an upcoming sport. And like I said, at the time, a lot of big name players were moving out to the USA. So it was gaining quite a lot of attention, especially with the media and the press and things like that. But as a coach, obviously I moved out there, started doing a lot of camp coaching, which you can expect to do. A lot of the roles out there involve camp coaching in the spring and the summer and the fall. But on top of that, I ended up working with some academy, doing some team trainings out in Seattle, which was excellent. And the variety of sessions that you actually get to do, I feel like improves you as a coach massively, because you could be doing a team session, you could be doing a camp, you could be doing a goalkeeper clinic, you could be doing a striker clinic. There's a huge variety of sessions which you've kind of got to adapt to and make the most of it, really.
I smile as you say that, because I remember some of my first weeks in the US, and I think it was like 9 till 10 a.m. I was working with three-year-olds, and then from 10 till 12 it was 5 and 6-year-olds, and then from 1 till 4 it was 10 through 12-year-olds, and then I did a team camp from 6 till 8 p.m. and that was working with 15-year-old girls. And even in one day, I've worked with so many kids and so many different levels of play, and I remember talking to a coach a couple of years ago who's complaining about doing summer camps, and just giving my opinion that it shapes everything that you are as a coach. If you can spend all those hours working with all those different players in that different environment. And Seattle's a really cool place too, because the soccer culture there is kind of unique to a lot of places in the US. So you really landed in a great place. And that, I think, maybe set you up to travel the world from there. So you ended up in China as well.
Yeah, but obviously when I left the USA, I actually came back to the UK and worked in the UK for a little bit. Worked at Pompina Community. Great experience again. That allowed me to even travel out to Holland with a few of the development teams, which was fantastic. But after Portsmouth, my next adventure was heading to China, which was a crazy one. But I've absolutely loved the whole experience. I've spent the last 2 years out there, and I'd recommend that to any sort of new coach looking to spread their wings and apply their trade across the world, to be honest.
And it has, as I kind of said in the intro, the idea that a lot of people have the idea and the dream of traveling like that and really getting to anywhere in the world. And people talk about the lack of ability or lack of options for them to get involved in the game in the UK. It's kind of selective, or it's so, I guess, people are already in places in clubs and academies, and it's full-time hours and part-time pay, and it's just not feasible for many people. So you've gone and done it and traveled across the world. And so my question really will be, what's your idea of a philosophy? People talk about philosophy a lot, and you've had so many different experiences, and one that I really can't wait to dig into with the China stuff. But how has this shaped your philosophy, and can you define it? And do you have a way of kind of explaining that if anyone ever asks you what it is?
Sure. Like, it's a question that gets asked quite a lot. Especially within the coaching world, everyone seems to want to know what each other's philosophy is. And I feel like a lot of people answer this question by saying, oh, I love to play free-flowing, fast-attacking football. I love to play this way. I love to do this and that. But quite simply, when you're working within youth football, you don't have the capacity of player to adapt to own such a philosophy, because it's just unrealistic, I believe. But I feel like by experiencing different cultures, your philosophy is changing all the time. There's many different things that can impact your philosophy. For instance, the country that you're in, the level of group that you're working with, the age of the group, even the gender and the level of the group that you're working with. But for me, when I talk about philosophy, I tend to break it down into four different areas, with the first one being my objective. My objective is to give the individual player and a collective group the best possible opportunity to succeed. I'd say I break it down into four different parts. The first part being the objective, and then the approach, and then my values and a principle of a coach, how a coach should be, really. But like I said, I feel like all of these parts can be affected due to numerous factors.
And so it's a really interesting approach, really, that the philosophy is flexible. And I really like how, like, the objective based on the individual and the group, that's something that is completely player-centered. A lot of people talk about being player-centered and then the argument of being coach-centered and such. But I think if you can really go into an environment and get to know players and understand your surroundings, then even if someone just takes away that as part of their philosophy, we can only be worried about the players, and that can only benefit them in the long run, right?
For sure, definitely. Like I said, a lot of coaches, you have to be player-centered at the moment. The player becomes before everything. You have to have the player as number one. For me, it's important to let the players be comfortable, let them be creative in your sessions, let them make mistakes, allow them to think for themselves and take ownership of themselves. But for me, the main thing is they got to be having fun and working hard at the same time.
Now, with your experience of coaching kids from all over the world, do you think there's any differences between them, or just kids are kids?
No, of course there's differences. Obviously in the UK and in China and USA, if you're there, you notice the differences throughout just little things. The culture, the way they grow up, the little habits, small habits and things like that they have, it's different, I think, wherever you go. Obviously there are some similarities as well, but a lot of the time you do start to notice these little differences, especially in the younger kids.
And so when you got into China, what was the pathway for you to go out there? What did that look like? Was that something that just fell in your lap, or something you pursued?
No, not at all. Like I said, at the time I was coaching with Portsmouth. I wasn't really looking for a job, but I'd been back from the USA for about a year and I was missing traveling around and experiencing new places. So I sent a bunch of CVs out to various openings all over the place, really. I wasn't really too bothered where I was going to go. I just wanted to go somewhere. So I kind of sent out a lot of CVs, like I said, and I didn't really hear anything back for maybe 3 or 4 months. And then all of a sudden I just received an email one day offering me a rollout in Shanghai. And I kind of done a little bit of research on it for around 5 or 10 minutes and thought, yeah, this is it. I'm going to go for it.
5 minutes of research and I'm in.
That's it.
And so was that working with a club? Was that working in an academy?
It was with a company. Unfortunately, around just before I'd been there around a year, the company started to dissolve with the higher end management starting to go to other places and try themselves in new projects. So a lot of people started to leave, which led me to find a new job out in China with another company, which I must say I much preferred, and it was a much better opportunity. And like I said, even though I didn't like my first job quite as much as my second job, if I wouldn't have gone for the first role in Shanghai, I would have never found the second role. So I'd always say, like, take every opportunity you can, because even if it's not the right opportunity at the time, it might lead to something else in the future.
It's an incredible perspective. And I always read about coaches who have done something like traveling with a company and travel, especially in the US, my background of working for Challenger Sports, and people will look back at it often and say, oh, you know, it was a really good experience, but at the time they maybe didn't enjoy it. But to have that perspective and look back on it and know, as we said, even just with the hours and the kids that you work with, that it sets you up in so many positive ways, and you either begin to understand what the environment is that you want to work in, or you pursue that same environment. And every experience is a learning experience, whether it's a good or a bad, that you can really take it and run with it to begin to influence yourself in the future. And as you said, that's something that I get a feeling from you as almost a bit of a yes man, like, yes, I want to do it. Yes, I want to go. Yes, I want to take that on. Yes, I want to experience it. And I think that can only help shape you as a coach, and that can only help shape your experiences in life too. And so what's one of the biggest things that you've had as an experience out there? I'm so interested in the culture and the language and working with kids of different backgrounds, but what's one of your biggest takeaways?
For me, I would definitely say, as a coach, if you're going to get offered this sort of opportunity, do a little bit more research than I did at the beginning. Find out a bit more about the company, about the role you're getting yourself into, and what to expect, basically. Like we spoke about earlier, I think the idea of moving abroad and coaching is very attractive, but actually going out there and doing it is completely something different. So I would say to all coaches, go out there and just give it a go and see what happens. You might make something off it in the future. But as a takeaway, you've got to really understand the country. You're living in someone else's country, in someone else's backyard, in someone else's culture. So everything is different. The first couple of weeks are very, very difficult. You have to adapt. You have to change everything, not just your coaching, your way of life. And it can only benefit you in the future, I believe.
And then the language, how was that?
To be honest, I'm not a great one when it comes to languages. I've tried, and especially with Chinese, it's very, very difficult. It's obviously a tonal language. So you say one thing in one tone and you say it slightly differently and it means something completely different. So I thought the best way for me was just to try and pick up a few kind of keywords or phrases, and you kind of pick up the numbers and stuff like that as you go, and just to simply get by. But the translator app on my phone has had a lot of use over the last few years.
I went to the World Cup in Russia and had full on conversations with Uber drivers via Google Translate for that exact same reason. It works, and it you get the gist of the conversation across, because I mean, for us, we were there just for 2 weeks, but living in an environment like that, I imagine you begin to pick up the language. Now, when you're coaching with the kids, how do you speak in English to them? Is there like and people always say that, you know, soccer is a common language and they'll understand when you start pointing and start moving. And I took a coaching license with a guy from Mexico who played for the Mexican national team and spoke very little English. And it was more sounds than it was words, but everybody understood what he was doing. So what was it like for you in that environment?
Like both jobs I had out there were very different. The first job I had was in Chinese public schools where the level of English was very, very low. They would provide us with a translator, but they wasn't always the most helpful people to have alongside you. So you would speak in English and they would translate a little. And some of the kids have got really, really good English, to be fair, but some of them obviously limited because it's not their first language. But within my, when I moved to Football Future, the second company I worked for out there, we were more based, well, I was more based personally in international school. So a lot of the kids were foreign and spoke fantastic English, and you could just coach without a translator, which was a lot easier at times. very different experiences, but you can get by for sure.
Now you've left China with I guess the current situation and not really knowing what the future holds, and you're back in the UK. You want to be in the UK? You think about going elsewhere? You think about going back to China?
Personally, I left China obviously because of the pandemic was going on, and the idea was to come back and sort of settle down in the UK for a little bit because I fancied a little bit of normality and I haven't been here for a while. So I thought I'll come back and just see how it goes. But I said to you earlier, I've been back around 3 or 4 months now and I'm kind of getting a bit restless already. I wanted to almost stay here and sort of improve my CV and do a few more coaching badges and things like that. But I've recently seen another role that's come up in Asia, and that's kind of drawing me in a little bit at the moment. It's still very early stages in the recruitment process, but I've been in contact with a couple of people about returning to Asia, not China. I would like to go and visit and work in obviously a different country, which would bring then another experience and experience of a different culture and how football is in other countries.
And so that's kind of led you down the pathway and the way that we've connected really with developing your own kind of brand and content of the Global Football Coach. So what's that all about? What are you trying to get from that? And then I really want to get into the articles and such that you're writing as well. So give us a little intro to who Global Football Coach is and what the idea behind it is.
Well, personally, like a lot of other people, well, I've had a lot more time on my hands and I kind of just wanted to get myself out there a little bit more. I've been coaching for quite a while now and I still kind of felt like nobody knew who I was. So I thought I'd just try and get myself out there, try and push it a little bit rather than just using my name, or I see a lot of people use their initials and maybe their number or whatever. I thought I'd just try something a little bit different, try and be a little bit more unique in that sense and try and push something that could be more of a brand in the future. It's obviously something I'm still working on and it's still the early stages, but the responses I've had so far have been very positive, and both of the things I love doing, it kind of goes together, traveling the world and coaching football at the same time. So thought it's easy enough to remember, people in my city, people see how that goes.
And so I see you and regularly interact with you, and I see the pictures and such. Now that's all pretty much from your time in China, and the material that you post with them I think are so valuable, because I guess people try and we've talked about people really wanting to travel or to see the world in another light. And I think the pictures are pretty inspiring, really, of seeing you working with these kids from another part of the world. And some of the facilities look really good, by the way. So is that the idea, is that the Global Football Coach is something that you can take it with you anywhere, really, right?
Definitely. I feel like wherever I go in the future, it's something I can carry on. Like I said before, if I return to Asia, it's something I can keep doing and keep pushing and keep getting it out there. For me, the captions and the pictures that I put up, I'd like them to relate. So hopefully people can kind of gain a bigger insight of what I'm all about and what I'm trying to do. But yeah, like I said, the response we've had so far has been really, really promising and great to see.
And that's just at Global Football Coach on Instagram, sure. Right? Yeah. And then, so let's get into the articles that you're writing. Where did that come from? And I think a lot of people like to have their own blog, or they like the idea of having kind of sharing their story, but you're actually doing it. So give us a little insight into that.
Well, I'd never really done anything like this before. And when I got back, I was kind of sitting at home thinking, what could I have used when I was maybe first starting out, or when I was a younger coach? What kind of resource could I have that would have benefited me when when I was starting my coaching career. And I thought maybe if I would have looked into what other coaches would have done a little bit more, looked for different pathways I could have taken, and maybe I could have got a bit more inspiration from that. But I reached out to Matt Ward, who runs the British Football Coaches Network, and I noticed a lot of people post articles on there. So I sent him an email over and said, would it be possible if I write you an article about my time in China? I know he's a big person for getting people out to Asia and coaching out there. So he said, yeah, of course. And I actually really, really enjoyed putting it together. And to be honest, I felt like I could write three or four, maybe five articles. Just that. So after that, got quite a good response. I thought maybe I'll try and sort of take this out on my own a little bit. And I started writing articles for young coaches. And I thought I'd decide on six different topics where I thought I could have maybe improved or shared experiences from my coaching journey. I'm also trying to reach out to other coaches who have had similar experiences and get their views as well. But a big thing for me is that they've got to be relatable and people can kind of see what I'm getting at here when I'm trying to just help people in a way. But I didn't want them just to reach out just to young coaches. I thought if older coaches might be able to read this as well, they might be able to kind of relate back to previous experiences that they've had.
It's so valuable that it's important that people have their own experience and learn from their own mistakes. But to have the info there that someone can at least begin to comprehend and find a way to think about in a new light. Like you said, it'd be nice to have known that when we started or when you find yourself in a new country. So you said six topics or six kind of areas. What are they?
Well, the first one was based around China. And obviously lots to speak about. So it's kind of like a follow on from the article I done with Matt. The second one, the one I've most recently released, is more around USA. And the third one I'm going to be bringing out next week, and that's around university. I'm going to try and sort of keep four, five, and six to myself, so then we can kind of at the time. But yeah, we're almost halfway through, and like I said, I've had some really good feedback, and they've been very promising. So I've been quite happy with how they came out so far.
And so the main idea is that this is what I wish I knew when I took on this role, or when I stepped in those shoes.
For sure. They're obviously not all good and not all bad. I try and sort of focus on points where then sometimes there's issues, sometimes previous experiences, try and offer information that can really support the younger coach that really wants to make something out of coaching and start a new journey.
This is the perfect time for it. As you said, you've had some time, and a lot of people have had time. And we started off air talking about even just the projects that I've had on my to-do list for so long, and stuff that I'm actually finally able to get to because I'm not on the field. So there's a kind of a secret happiness that I'm not on the field right now because I'm able to actually go and do it. And I think that that's not a bad thing. And maybe people are defined by the roles that they live. And I don't know if that's healthy. I don't know if that's my sole purpose. I try and challenge people and ask what they're doing and what they're doing, if even just to secure themselves against something like this from happening in the future. Because I know a lot of people are being hit hard by not having a job or not having a career right now because of this pandemic. And the idea of saying how this has happened, how do you safeguard yourself in the future, or what are you doing? And a lot of people are concerned about their players. And that's a worry to me, because I think you are more than just your players. Your players will move on to a new coach. Your organization will move on to new coaches as well. You will always be changing. So what are you doing for yourself? And I think that what you're doing is perfect. And I would encourage anybody that has a story to share it, because like you said, when you actually spend some time and write down your experience, there's so much value for anybody to read. And there's value for yourself in writing and reflecting on your own experience, because I bet you've probably learned some stuff or actually had a chance to reflect on some things that maybe you change your opinion on too.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, reflection for any coach is massive. When I first started out, I didn't do it enough. And recently, obviously, I've been reflecting a lot more. And yeah, it's helped me in a number of ways, just by going back and revisiting times where not all good times, sometimes bad things, sometimes things that I could have done better. But what's this pandemic at the moment has taught me more than anything is just use your time wisely. Try and figure out the best ways you can do things, the best time management, and what else you can do. Because at the end of the day, we're not just football coaches. We can offer so much more than that. And I think by doing little things like this and supporting each other and helping each other out, it's only going to be beneficial for yourself and for other coaches as well.
Oh, completely. So you talk about like looking at CV development or resume development too. Is there anything in mind for you that you're looking at? I know like most coaching licenses are cancelled now because they require an in-person component. So is there anything you found online or anything that you've started joining in with that's been especially beneficial for you?
Well, obviously, I was quite disappointed when I come home and all this had happened, because the idea was to come home and get my B license done and maybe apply for a few other courses. I've obviously been on the FA website, completed some FA learning modules and things like that, just trying to keep up to date with things, really. But for me, building that CV is a huge thing, especially in the future. I need to make myself as attractive as I can to as many employers or future employers as possible. I think moving around the world as well, the next step that I take, I would like to start doing some badges in other countries, because that's something I haven't really got around to doing. Mm. Obviously, I know when we're in Asia, the badges aren't quite as recognized as when you come back to Europe, but still there's no harm in having them on your CV. And like I said, if I'm going to make a career around the world, then it will look really, really great to have badges from all over the place dotted onto my CV. So that's something for me for the future, for sure. And like we touched on earlier, I think even as a player or as a coach, you should never stop learning and do as much as you can to boost that CV up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The idea of taking an A license here in the US and quote unquote completing coach education in the US, what I feel right now is that actually I'm able to kind of explore what I want to explore. So you talk about doing the same thing, taking a license in another country and kind of jumping into that culture and that the way their football association runs things. Now you're able to really begin to ask questions in a new way. And I've run into many Brits here in the US that have a UEFA license and they ride on a UEFA license. And that I've always had that same opinion, like, but you're not in Europe. You're not, you got an experience in Europe, which is totally valid. And I never detract from the work that goes into taking a foreign license like that. But if you can jump into a culture, whether you, like, people will still say that the US is minimal or subpar in comparison to European licensing, and people believe what they want to believe, like you said about the Asian licenses. But to be honest, if you are taking in as much as you can, who could complain about that? You can't discredit any environment that you're working in unless you are the supreme guy. But I don't even see the supreme guy saying that they're better. Imagine a guy like Pep who decided to come and coach in the US. You'd probably find him absorbing as much of the culture as possible, because that's where he is and that's what he understands is his career. I don't understand why people wouldn't want to do that. And I understand where if you are finding yourself perhaps in a situation where you're working for a company and you're busy and you're working all the time. And I know guys that came to the US and coach 6 or 7 days a week, they just can't get off and go and take licensing. But even like you said, taking online classes and getting into as much of the culture as possible can only set you up for the future, can only set you up to be a better, more rounded person, somebody who's asking questions and isn't maybe ignorant to what's going on around them. So huge props to you on that one, mate. And then the articles, I love reading them. I can't wait to see the rest, because I'm excited to speak, especially 4, 5, and 6. Now we've got a cliffhanger. Now we're being teased. So is there anything else that you've got going on? Anywhere else that you're looking at getting? What's your kind of long-term plan before we wrap up here? What are you striving for in the long term?
Well, I still see my long-term coaching being within youth football. I'd really like to focus on getting better what I'm already good at. I feel like I don't want to jump into the senior side of things too soon. I feel like it's important to make that step at some point, but it's important to make that step at the right time as well. So for me at the moment, I would like to continue doing what I'm doing, continue moving around, experiencing as much as I can in different countries with different abilities, different players all over the world if possible. Because like I said, it's a great life that I'm lucky enough to lead at the moment, and I wouldn't mind carrying it on for a little bit longer if possible.
You and I are both very fortunate to have grown up in a country where the game is everything, and then be able to take that into other parts of the world where we can either influence or we can at least benefit also from the culture of the growing game. So I think the more, as you said, being that idea of a yes man and getting after it and being open to traveling all over and even to a whole new world, it would intimidate me to go into a culture where there's a completely different language, number one, and then even considering what the lifestyle is like. So I think fair play to you for that. And the Global Football Coach just shows everything about that. So I recommend people to get onto Global Football Coach on Instagram for sure, just to see what's going on there. I think it's brilliant. So Ryan, I really appreciate your time, mate. This is awesome. And I'll be sharing in the show notes too, the link to the blog. And we'll be following along and see what 4, 5, and 6 bring up too.
Lovely. All right. Perfect for that. Thanks, mate.
I really hope that you have seen some wonderful insight from someone who's just committed to traveling as an experience, but also traveling with a purpose and working within the game in so many different places that Ryan has is so eye-opening. And many of us, myself included, may be intimidated by a completely different culture with a different language. But I think fair play to Ryan for taking on that experience, taking on that challenge, and also spreading it. The idea of his blog with the article for young coaches, and also following him on Instagram with the Global Football Coach. You'll learn a lot from Ryan. He's got a lot to give away, and I really am happy to share his story here. So give him a follow. Again, at Global Football Coach on Instagram, you'll see what's going on in his world. You can always follow me at Lead on Soccer, and more coming from me and the Heads and Volleys podcast real soon.